Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C. And you're not. Snapagram, InstaChat. It's easy to see how Patriots coach Bill Belichick can get it mixed up. The visual social media platforms are getting crowded and confusing. Which platform's features are right for you? Does the audience that I'm actually trying to reach actually use it? If Instagram is all about images, can I use it if I take horrible, terrible photos? Well, today on the show, we'll discuss why a business might want to use Instagram Live, Instagram story strategies, hashtags, Instagram tools, and much more. But first, have you downloaded my free Manly Pinterest Tips Tackle Box? It's chock full of some of my favorite resources for images and productivity. Go to manlypinteresttips.com to check it out. I'm very excited to have Molly Marshall from Molly Marshall Marketing on the show today. Molly has 11 plus years of digital marketing experience. Before becoming a social media consultant for small and medium-sized businesses, she was responsible for creating and implementing the digital strategy for a global durable goods manufacturer for over a decade. She particularly enjoys solving real business problems by creating valuable online content and crafting social media strategies that get results. She is a data-driven, results-oriented, forever student of marketing. Now, this interview that I did with Molly was a live show where the audience was able to interact with myself, guest, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us, where you can ask your own questions during the show. I've been following Molly's Instagram account for a while now and have been very impressed. And I know that I just had to have her on my show to share her knowledge of the platform to you. And she doesn't disappoint. So let's jump right into my conversation with Molly Marshall.
Molly, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I was excited to get your invitation. I've had a huge crush on your brand for several years now. It's such a fun spin on Pinterest marketing.
It is really fun. And I apologize, I sound like Kermit the Frog. I have a bad cold I just can't get over. But it's really interesting. I always like to get people who on the show that I really, you know, it's the show is really a selfish thing. I really do it because of people I find interesting and I want to learn more about. And so I've got to have some really great people on this show. And we met at Social Media Marketing World. We talked a little bit earlier last year. I've been following your stuff on Instagram. I've been so impressed. So I really wanted you to talk to our audience today about Instagram and some of your successes there. But so tell me a little bit about yourself and how you wound up in social media.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you said in my intro, I have been working in digital marketing for a little over 11 years now. And really, I kind of just fell into it. I started my career just in more general marketing. And, honestly, probably like 3 years in, I just had a really smart mentor and boss say, "Hey, I really think you should focus on the digital side because I think that's, you know, starting to get really huge and that would just be a really smart thing for you to do." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, that sounds good to me." I'm also part of that generation where, I mean, like Facebook launched when I was in college. So, I'm not a digital native, I was on social media when it started. And so, it came really naturally to me and it was interesting. And so I just kind of, that's just kind of the way it went. And I started focusing more and more of my energies on digital marketing. And before I knew it, that was my specialty.
Very cool. Very cool. So why were you drawn to Instagram? I mean, I know you do a lot. You talk about a lot of stuff. You're kind of like me. You know, you may focus on one thing, but you kind of handle all the different networks. But so what do you love about Instagram?
Well, I mean, I chose Instagram for myself kind of as an experiment. So, I mean, you know, you're right. Like, I do have experience on all these different platforms. And when I was a digital marketing manager for a corporation, I was involved on, you know, all those different platforms. But then when I started my consulting business, like, I came in, you know, a lot of small business owners just don't realize the magnitude of what social media requires to keep everything right. updated. And I knew that going in, and I knew that I didn't, you know, I couldn't manage my business and clients and also just be all things to all people on all platforms. So, I knew I needed to really, you know, dig in and focus on one platform from the beginning. And I just really loved Instagram personally. Like, it was my favorite social network at that time. Like, I found myself on it more, you know, than Facebook, more than anything else. Right. And I was like looking around, and I didn't see a lot of marketing people using it as like the micro blogging platform that I kind of saw it as. And so I just decided to give it a try and see if it stuck. And it has worked really well for me and done a lot of really great things for my business. So, I just found it really interesting, and then just dug in and kind of became my thing.
Gotcha. Did you think, like, okay, you know, cause the big hang up for marketers is, you know, there's only one really link, and it's in your bio to, you know, get back to your content. Like, if you're trying to push a blog post, you're trying to do a product or whatever. Did you ever, do you think that was just a challenge? Okay, how can I get people to convert from Instagram? Or was that, because that was what kind of kept me away. I just kind of piddled in it a little bit because I was like, there's only one link. I have to go to click on the bio. It's really tough.
Right.
What do you tell businesses who kind of are get hung up about that?
Well, honestly, to me, I felt like that was a benefit because, we're all on Facebook, and we all see what that looks like. And it's literally just link after link after link, and the quality really varies. And so, while there's only one live link right now on Instagram, I've heard some rumors that maybe that's going to be changing soon, which might be exciting, might not. I thought, just kind of as a purist, I was like, this requires people to put forth their best content. You know, when you post to Instagram, it requires a photo and a thoughtful caption. So it kind of like suppresses the junk just naturally. So I saw it actually as a benefit. And it really makes me think about, and when I'm managing for clients, like, what is the most important thing that we're trying to accomplish? What's our biggest goal? And that ends up being your link. And I think that it requires you to focus. And I think that's actually a really beneficial thing, if that makes
sense. Very cool. Yeah, yeah. My friend Jen Herpin says one of the things she likes is all those people who click on your link, they're hot. They're not just like warm leads. They're hot because they made the effort to go to your bio to find out more about you and then click through to whatever offer or link you're having.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, because people, I mean, a lot of the data shows that people that use Instagram really like to stay on Instagram. So if they're really willing to go leave the app to go do whatever it is that you're asking them to do, they are a very hot lead. Like they were inspired to go do that. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Okay. Here's the big question. And I know this is a kind of a controversial thing, but Snapchat versus Instagram, you know, Instagram, you know, blatantly has ripped off some stuff from Snapchat. Mm-hmm. What do you think about who's going to end up the winner for one? And is there space for both? And, you know, have you tried Snapchat and why did you focus on Instagram? Some of those kind of questions. I'm really interested to, I know I quit using Snap. I go in there once in a while to play with filters, you know, then I upload it to Instagram. I think a lot of people do that, but do you think Snapchat's in danger, or what are your thoughts about, you know, Snapchat versus Instagram?
You know, I really don't know. So I'll just admit, I have dabbled in Snapchat a little bit. I find the app terribly confusing. People love to like sing its praises of how intuitive it is, and I don't find it intuitive at all. I'm starting to show my age a little bit or something. I don't know. It's one of those things, like, I keep kind of avoiding Snapchat a little bit, but then it's like not going away. And so I don't think that there is going to be a winner. I mean, Instagram right now has 600 million active users. It's backed by Facebook. clearly Instagram's not going to lose. They're not going away. But at the same time, I mean, Snapchat just did its initial public offering. They have 150 million active users. It does have some features that Instagram doesn't have. I mean, Instagram stories are great. And, you know, they've got a couple stickers and some pens and stuff. But the Snapchat filters, that's super fun. That's something that Instagram hasn't done yet.
Right.
So I definitely think that there's room for both. Time will tell. It's so hard to predict because there was, you know, a time when everyone was like, oh, only young people are on Instagram, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, now my 87-year-old grandmother has an Instagram account. So that's not true anymore.
Right.
And I think, you know, the same can be true for Snapchat, too. I see some challenges right now. I mean, being a marketer at heart, data is always really important to me. And right. I think Snapchat has some challenges when it comes to analytics and measurement and that kind of thing. But I think they'll get there. Over time, they'll be pressured to do so. I know there's some third party tools right now that, right. You know, help with some Snapchat analytics. So I definitely, I don't really see either one dying out, so to speak. I mean, heck, Twitter's still around, so.
That's right. They're sometimes not doing very well. The thing with Snapchat is, I guess it always depends, you know, and we, as marketers, we always say this, is where is your audience?
Right.
And for me, most marketers and most businesses I know, that demographic doesn't really fit. Now, if I was selling kids' clothing or kids' shoes or had a client that did the same kind of thing, I would think about doing Snapchat. But Instagram can be just as good as better on some of those. I mean, you're going to have to weigh where your market is. And just the way you can target ads now on Instagram through Facebook, you know, Power Editor and all that stuff, I just think right now they're winning on that front. You know, that being said, and my thing was, is the people I would advertise to on Snapchat, they don't have any money. They're my kids.
Yeah,
they come for me to money, you know, and I know that people on Instagram have some money and there's some affluence there. So anyway, that's kind of how I break it down, but I agree with you. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think Snapchat, my kids message on it. It'll be interesting to see how they can monetize. I mean, right now for the average business, it's way expensive other than the geofencing where you can do kind of cheap. It's kind of cost prohibitive to do those like special filters where the, you know, the minimum buy is $1 gazillion. So anyway, so very, very interesting. So what, in your opinion, since you spend so much time on Instagram, is what makes a good Instagram post? Why do you follow somebody when you see one of their posts on Instagram?
You know, I used to think that, I mean, I think we always harp on the quality of your images and if they're beautiful and if they look nice. And you can go look at my Instagram and I don't actually share images. I share graphics. So I'm a little bit of an anomaly there. But, you know, there was maybe even like a year ago, I would have said, like, your images need to be good and you need to be improving, but like they don't need to be perfect. I think that Instagram's starting to get more competitive. I mean, 600 million active users. I feel like just about every brand is on board now. So it definitely has raised the bar. I think you can't ignore photography and like you really do need to be, again, you don't have to be perfect, but you do need to be getting better at that. So the bar has been raised there. So, I mean, really great images and thoughtful captions. I think it was about a year ago now. I'm really bad with dates, so I could be wrong. But about a year ago now, you know, Instagram started truncating the captions. So it used to show your whole caption. You'd scroll through the feed. Right. And I have long captions, usually several hundred characters. So it was all there, but now it's not. It's just like a 150 character-ish lead-in. And so, you know, a catchy opening sentence is really important now. You want to get people to click that more button and read the rest. And then just like with all social media, you know, a thoughtful call to action. Like you want somebody to take the next step. I think this isn't specific to Instagram, but a lot of the mistake a lot of people make is just kind of looking at social media as its own island and like what you share on social media just like, you know, lives out there. But it's like you really are trying to get people back to your business. So it's just that nice image that gets someone to stop scrolling, the, you know, attractive opening sentence that gets someone to expand your caption, and then the call to action to take the next step. I think those three things those are the three things that I'm always thinking about in every one mm-hmm. of my posts and that of my clients for the Instagram accounts that I manage.
I think that opening caption is a big point. And I don't do that as well, but that, I think that's a really good thing to focus on is like, okay, why should people read it? You know, cause so many people are just flicking through mm-hmm. the feed and having something that makes them stop and go, oh, I want to know more. I think that's very, very key. That's kind of the same thing we do on Pinterest when we do our descriptions down there. So, mm-hmm. Some of that stuff could carry through. Are you one of those people who, and I haven't done this, but I know the big Instagrammers do this. They plan out their posts. And so they even do the 9-grid view. And I know Paige Fitzpatrick does this, and Tailwind, their new Instagram app, actually can let you lay this out before you even post them. And so when you look at the 9 figures on your phone, it's all perfect and laid out. Cool. Do you do that? I'm more eclectic, throwing whatever I think looks good for that day. Do you plan it out that far in advance?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Okay.
About a month in advance, actually.
Really?
Things change, which is kind of a bummer because I have, like 4 main brand colors that are like a gray, a yellow, a teal, white, and they always alternate. And so then if something happens and I have to insert something, it's like, now all my graphic colors are off. So yeah. So I have things penciled out pretty far in advance, but you have to be flexible.
Very good. I think that's a good idea. We do that. We try to go that far ahead in at Social Media Examiner because I run their Instagram posts. And so, but we haven't done the 9-grid thing to make it look the same. So have you, said you just post graphics, and I've done the same for a long time too, not just graphics, but have you found one works better? Did you test to see photos work better than graphics? And I went with graphics because that seemed to work best for my brand. Is that what you did?
I did. So, I started with graphics just, I don't know, honestly, just to be different. And, I just felt like the things I wanted it to be like a microblogging platform for me. And, my captions are always pretty long and instructional. And so I wanted just a couple words to post to be like, this is what my post is about. Read the caption. But then there was the time where I was like, gosh, Instagram is really all about images. Am I mm-hmm. cheating? Maybe I should go to using images. And so for a month, I went to images only, not graphics. And my Instagram tanked so badly that I literally, at the end of the month, I was like, I think I need to quit Instagram. This is just, I'm not good at it. But then I switched back to graphics and all of a sudden it was fine again. And I was like, I think, that's just what people expect from me. And they were like, did not know who I was when they were swiping through their newsfeed. They were like, what is this picture? So it really is, I think, you have to figure out what works for you. And then also, whatever it is that you do becomes a huge part of your brand, and it's what people expect from you. So, mm-hmm. They stop on that picture because they know that's, that bright teal is my color or whatever. So I think there's definitely room for both. You have to kind of figure out what works for you.
I think I'm still trying to figure it out. Laura says that she tries for she looks for 2 weeks and then throws some few in at random. And then Mike says that he alternates as well. Sometimes he would have to create a pick graphic to share in sequence and so he could get a new specific graphic later. So, yeah, so I think being flexible, but, having a plan, I think, is a great idea. I did that for a while on mine and then I got behind and then I haven't done it. I try to, it's usually at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I didn't do anything for Instagram.
Right.
I got to go out and, make a graphic. So anyway, so what we talked about, what makes a good Instagram post, and for, it depends on your brand. If it, try some graphics, if that works and you feel comfortable doing that, move forward. If you're a great photographer, use those photos and give the audience what it wants. So Instagram stories, and I know you've done these as well. Mm-hmm. How often do you do them, and what are some of the best practices that you would say for using Instagram stories? First of all, why don't you explain what Instagram stories are in case somebody's listening to this who has no idea what I'm talking about?
Sure. So, Instagram has what I like to now call its old school feed, which is how it started, where you post a picture and it goes to your, grid and lives forever. Ish. And so now there are Instagram stories, which is what a lot of people refer to as the Snapchat knockoff. So when you're in home feed on Instagram, where you would scroll through people's pictures, in the upper left-hand corner, there's a button, which is a camera button, and you can take a picture and it goes to your story, and that picture or short video lives for 24 hours and then it disappears. So yeah, I do use stories, and stories are so much more dynamic, I think, than the, regular, what we're calling old school Instagram feed now. So, I don't think anybody does them perfectly. Like, I don't want to say like, oh, I always post 4 times a day to make, like, I'm definitely not that consistent. Some I've skipped a couple days. There's other days where I've posted like 6 times, but what I really like about them is, for me in my business, and I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, just other small businesses struggle with this. Like, they don't know, you know, how much people care about what's going on behind the scenes or them as a person. And I personally think I have a pretty boring life. So, but with, I would never post whatever, a picture from my life really on my main feed, because that's where I'm sharing right. my tips and stuff. But in stories, I'm sharing a lot of things about my day that are still relevant to my business. And I honestly thought when I started that people would stop watching my stories, but my numbers just keep going up. So, you know, I think including stories when it makes sense, you know, doing it several times throughout the day, not necessarily a bunch at once, but throughout the day, you know, I try to do it like, you know, 1 in the morning, 1 midday, right. 1 in the evening, if I'm that on top of it. But the other great thing that does for you is, you know, when you're in your main feed on Instagram, the stories are across the top. And so, and it's showing you whoever updated their story the latest. So there's a benefit there for you to update your story throughout the day, like, 'cause you could be in that person's constantly, you know, right. Gosh, again, I'm bad with dates, but what was it, like a year ago or eight months ago or so, that the algorithm, I think it was July, came out, and you know, a lot of people were really freaked out about that. But it's like, you know, that's how using stories is one way that you could remind people that you're there on Instagram, because they could be seeing you in that stories feed, even if your picture on your main Instagram feed isn't popping up for them. Gotcha. Yeah, so I really like stories.
So stories, and tell me if I'm wrong, stories are just people who see that who are only following you, right? They see that up there. It doesn't show up unless they're following you. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, in their feed, it doesn't show right. up if they're following you. But on the Explore tab on Instagram, they do feature some stories at the top. They try to guess who you might be interested in and show some relevant stories to you. So you could get found by new followers through your story potentially.
Gotcha. Laura asks, how many times a day on average do you post?
I post once a day, every evening. Yeah.
Cool. So I think one of the things with stories, I think, is great to engage with your audience. I mean, that's the way for people who follow you on Instagram. That's one more way that you can, then you mentioned behind the scenes. And I did something with Instagram Live when it came out, which is pretty a recent thing. And mm-hmm. I was shocked because I took people like behind the scenes in my little man cave here. And I was like, I've always said, if people think my life is interesting, they really need to get a life. But they liked it. And it was fun showing them. And that was their, you know, live is only there for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Or no, it's live is only there until when you're done. Yeah. And when you're done, it's gone. And so I felt a little comfortable. So like no one else is going to see this when I'm over, you know, my messy office. But it was really cool. People really enjoyed seeing that and having that exclusive kind of look. And so what do you think about how people can use, let's talk about how businesses can use stories and then how businesses maybe could use live in a strategic way. Because to me, they're two different animals. I mean, live is gone. And if people aren't there, they miss it. So, but stories is a way that you can go through, you know, like you were saying, update people throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, so I think that stories naturally lends itself to the whole behind the scenes theme. But I also think that you can do a little more teaching in stories if you wanted to than you can on your main feed, because you can string together those little, what, like 10 right. second clips. So, I mean, I have done little tutorials too. You know, it's just another way to like be in front of people several times a day. So you could do behind the scenes, you could do a tutorial. I often ask questions, which is kind of interesting because you can ask questions and get feedback from your audience, and it's sent when they answer you, it's sent through direct message. So it's a little more private. I think in some ways inspires people to be a little more, I know some people, I don't know, just might not want their comment or their question public. So it kind of is a unique way to correspond with your audience. Those are three really you know, good ways, and just cross promoting content. I mean, I do this all the time where like I screenshotted the Facebook post that I was going to be here with you today, and then just uploaded that. It's just like, you know, I wouldn't post all these things all the time on my Instagram feed because, you know, there's just kind of an etiquette there of not clogging up people's posts a day, but stories allows you to do that. And then you asked about Instagram Live and kind of the same thing. One of my favorite brands on Instagram, because I just think that they use every tool available to them, is Thrive Market. And I can't remember, I should have looked this up, what their handle is. I don't know if it's Thrive Market, the whole word. I think it might be Thrive, like MKT or something like that. Mm-hmm. But basically they're like a website that sells like healthy food and wellness products, like natural products and stuff. And they did a live the other day where they had one, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but he's like a big paleo expert guy.
Right.
And he was doing like some kind of like kitchen talk, and they live streamed that. And it was just, I think he might've been actually talking to their employees or something, but they streamed it and I got the benefit too. And I thought that was super cool. So, so yeah, again, you know, the Instagram Live, I've done it a couple times. It's really good for teaching. A lot of times I kind of take my blog content and I talk it out and kind of flesh it out verbally because it crystallizes my message. And, you know, people are asking questions and commenting and I'm like, ooh, I wouldn't have thought to address that. So, I mean, it, you know.
And live in stories is hard, I think, because you're talking to the camera. You know, live, you can kind of get some, when people start showing up, you can kind of interact with them that way. But it is, that's why I like doing these interview shows, because it's a lot easier. It's not on you. You can, you know, have a conversation. But yeah, so is there, you know, and this Snapchat would drive me nuts too, but, and some people use stories this way at first, but they would put like 15 stories and you'd have to, you're trying to go through them all and you're like, good night. This is just way too much. Is there a link that you think of for Instagram stories?
I mean, personally, if I see 15, I'm swiping to the next person. I'm just like, I don't have time for that. but yeah, I mean, I would say this isn't hard and fast, but more than six things live at one time is starting to get a little lengthy. But again, it kind of depends on what's going on. I mean, you and I are going to be at Social Media Marketing World next month, and I'm going to have so many things I want to share, and my audience is super like interested in that because I'm taking them to a conference that they might not have been able to attend in person. So it really just depends on the content. If it was 15 shots of my coffee and my lunch, that's going to get old really fast. It always comes back to value. We say over and over, but it's like the more valuable it is, the more you can post.
Yeah, exactly. Have you found that there's a link that you like to go when you do live? And you know, we talked about the six or more for stories, but for live, is there a link that you think is good for that link for doing those?
Yeah, I mean, I have done longer teaching ones that were more like 20 to 30 minutes. I think it's rare that people can stay that long. I mean, think about just, you know, in your day and your work and your family. And I mean, you know, and then all the people you follow on Instagram, like you just truly don't have time to go consume that much content. I am in favor of shorter, like 5 to 10 minutes, but then there's benefits to going longer because live is live. It doesn't last after that. And the longer you're on, the more opportunity people have to see you're on, but then you don't want to just sit there and ramble either. So, I think when you are doing live, Instagram Live, it's good to promote it beforehand, let people know you're going to be doing it. So you don't feel like you have to keep it going so people can jump on. But yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, 15 minutes, anywhere from like 5 minutes to 15 minutes is a really good range in what I'm
seeing. Gotcha. Right. And usually, I mean, it takes a while for people to start jumping on too. So have a little bit of banter at the beginning before you just start going into your, you know, main content, because that's what I did. So I started talking and nobody was there. Like, oh, I got to go back and repeat that when everybody started showing up. So you got to kind of remember that. So what do you think a use for Instagram Live for a business, especially since it goes away after a broadcast? What would you think would be a good use for a business for Instagram Live?
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that it's live and it's truly live and it doesn't last and it can't be saved is a tiny bit disappointing to me. Just because, again, as a marketer, we're always looking for ways to repurpose our content and stretch things as far as we can. But for me, I mean, I've done Facebook Live, I've done some Periscope, I've done Instagram Live. My audience is on Instagram. So for a small business, if your audience is on Instagram, you should be streaming on Instagram because that's where they are. And I get right. quite a few more people on Instagram than I do anywhere else. So like for me, it's worth it. I mean, there are a lot of creative hacks. I mean, and you're doing that right now with this interview is you're, right. you know,
I'm going everywhere.
Streaming, you're everywhere. And so, you know, that is definitely an option. If you're doing Instagram Live and you think you want to repurpose it, you could also do Facebook Live or YouTube Live or, you know, I don't know, record it some other way with a webcam or something. But yeah, I mean, if your audience is there, I think it's worth it to be on that platform. And it just is another opportunity to have conversations because so much learning happens when you have a conversation. I mean, this experience here with you is so much more rich than if you had emailed me a list of questions right. and I typed back some answers, you know?
Right.
Conversations are always, always valuable.
Yeah. Well, Ken has, and we kind of answered this, there's a benefit to Instagram Live versus Facebook Live, seeing that Facebook will let your audience watch after the fact. And that's what I like. That's why I do it to all these different platforms. And if I did do it more, if I was really diving into Instagram Live, I would figure out a way to record it another way yeah. just because coming from a video background, not having something when you're done just drives me insane.
Yeah. So it feels, yeah. feels kind of
but
bad.
There was something to be said for going, no one will ever see my behind the scenes messy office who wasn't sure. seeing it live. So there was some freedom with that. And so I can kind of see the benefit of using both. So what about using video content on Instagram? You know, not lives or stories, but video posts. You know, when Instagram was really in its infancy, people were saying, don't put video posts because nobody watches them. It's not a good thing to do. Do you think that's still the case, or do you think that video is just kind of normal to see in the feed?
You know, I have several clients that we manage Instagram for, and, you know, video is such a broad term.
Right.
Video could be, for one of my clients, it's a real estate staging company, so we do a lot of before and after, so it's really just a video flipping back and forth. Those are some of our you know, greatest posts as far as reach and impressions, which we're checking in the native Instagram analytics now.
Right.
So, you know, that as platforms get more saturated, and we've seen this like on Twitter too, you know, like with the animated GIFs, anything that's animated or moves starts to really catch people's eye more. So I think that video is really great. I personally haven't had a lot of success with like a minute long video where I'm talking about something, but right. anything that kind of moves or animates to catch people's eye is really, really valuable.
Very cool. Yeah. What I've noticed, and we do a lot of animation and Instagram, a video over on the Social Media Examiner account, those do pretty well, but we mix them up with, we don't just do all one kind, but
right.
it seems to be the shorter animated video that highlights a quote or has what I call motion graphics, which is a quote moving. Those do really well, and it catches your eye in the feed, and I think people really like them. So, Elisa asks, what do I use to create animations for Instagram? I use Ripple is one. Adobe Spark Post is another. Do you have some, Molly?
Those two I would have said as well. But then also I use Flipagram, especially for like a before and after type thing. You can add music. I use a combination of, I go and like, we'll create a Canva, something in Canva with like a text overlay, and then, you know, save those and upload those into Flipagram as well.
Very cool. And a lot of the ones we do on, Social Media Examiner, I do in Adobe After Effects, and that's a high, it's like Photoshop, moving Photoshop. It's really on steroids. It's really cool. So that's what we use for a lot of those on Social Media Examiner. So what are some of the newest features and changes to Instagram that you think, I mean, there's some new stuff. I know that the algorithm was one thing, you know, Instagram Live. Is there any other big ones that you maybe even some rumors that you've heard coming down the pike?
Yeah, well, I've heard. So something that I think is really exciting is in verified Instagram accounts, I got to figure out how to get myself verified. People can drop live links in their stories. And I've seen it on Gary Vaynerchuk's where right. he shared something, and like that swipe is so cool. I'm hoping that that's something that they roll out to everyone. That could be really awesome. And one of my favorites actually is such a small one, but I love it, is the bookmarks feature. So as you're scrolling through, like underneath the photo on the bottom right hand corner is just like a little kind of ribbon slash bookmark looking thing. And so you can save things that you see. And I use that to curate content all the time. Like if I see something where I'm like, gosh, this is a really good Instagram post or like a great example of something or something I want to learn about later, I save it to a bookmark. And people can't see your bookmarks. They don't know what you've saved. And you as an account owner don't know who's bookmarked your stuff, but you can hope that people are bookmarking your things. So I love that. And then I also have heard that possibly live links are going to be coming to posts. And I know that's something that a lot of people would love. I'm a little mixed on that. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Some good, some bad. Well, time will tell, but.
Right. And those people who were wondering about what Gary Vee does, what he does when he does like a stories thing, it'll say, you know, swipe up, and you'll swipe up and it'll actually go to his website. So there's, hopefully that will roll out to everybody and not just verified users. The one I really like is in stories, being able to at mention people and they get a link. I think that's really cool. So Facebook's got some money and they can, you know, I feel sorry for Snapchat because it's going to be hard to keep up with the stuff they keep rolling out. Laura has a question. She goes, she's curious, are Molly's Instagram clients people who were already clients or new Instagram only clients? Because she feels like managing Instagram is very specific because the content has to be so high quality.
Yeah. So I don't have any clients where the only thing I do is their Instagram. So Instagram, in fact, for most of my clients, Instagram is like a secondary platform. I don't have any clients where that's like their primary platform. It's like an add-on. So we're not posting super frequently. I hope that answered your question.
Laura, one of my clients who's a chocolate factory, and I think you follow us actually. We do their Facebook and also their Instagram. And the thing is, a lot of it translates because I usually do mostly square pictures on Facebook, just because I think they work really well from the mobile platform because so many people are mobile, and going into Instagram. So it's really, and their account is really growing because they have gorgeous stuff for one, and it's chocolate. So it works really well. So can you give us some real quick tips on hashtag strategy? I know hashtag, everything's built on hashtags on Instagram. So what are some of your top tips for people getting started on Instagram about hashtags?
Sure. Well, one is, I think it's really important to know your keywords. And when I say that, some people instantly know what I mean. And some people really struggle and are not sure where to start. But I mean, just think of the words that you would use to describe your business and start there. So there's probably some really broad term, like it might even be something like boutique or bakery or whatever. And then I have what I like to call the two word hashtag rule, which is, in general, hashtags that are two words are much more targeted than a single word hashtag. So something like boutique is super broad, but if you add a word to it, like women's boutique or children's boutique or your location, Portland boutique, whatever it is, it becomes a lot more targeted. So the majority of your hashtags should have two words in them. And again, that's not a hard and fast rule, but I feel like that kind of helps people identify, like when I say it needs to be targeted, that kind of helps people identify what I mean by that. But then, so I would say, 15 to 20 of your hashtags should be like that. But then, 5 to 10 can be more broad, kind of single word terms. I would still steer away from things like love or, hope, or like something that's just really, really, could be put on every photo on Instagram. But, like marketing is one, or, social media is one, or, the boutique or whatever, 5 to 10 can be like that.
Do you use the full 30 hashtags for every post?
I do. I just feel like you have them, you're allowed to use them, and you should just use every tool that
nobody
available to you. And I have not seen any evidence of being punished for using 30 hashtags. So in fact, when I use less than 30 is when I see less engagement and reach. So I'm definitely a fan of the 30 hashtags.
Yeah. And there's no, like, if you would do that on Facebook, people would like, what are they doing? But on Instagram, nobody thinks that. I mean, do you have any specific tools you like to do? I mean, I'm sure you're not just writing in your own hashtag. You're actually going and researching and finding out what hashtag works the best. Do you have a tool that you like to use the best for researching those kind of things?
I mean, Instagram itself just, you know, offers some help. So, the first time you go research hashtags, it's fairly labor intensive, but then once you have, I mean, now I have, you know, like a Word document or a spreadsheet with, you know, 200 hashtags on it that apply to my business or any account that I manage. But yeah, I mean, I start on Instagram by typing in that main keyword, like social media, for instance. Mm-hmm. And you know, as you're typing it in the explore tab, Instagram will suggest other hashtags to you. So you'll see like social media tips, social media marketing, and you know how many results a hashtag has. So I just start noting those. But then also, if you search the hashtag and actually complete the search, it will pull up photos for that hashtag. And at the top, along the top, they'll usually give you about 5 related mm-hmm. hashtags. And Instagram is saying, when people use this hashtag, they're also often using these 5. And so I'll find more that way. And then also just, you know, checking out what your competitors or other, you know, kind of people in your niche are doing. That's really helpful. Or even, you know, searching the hashtag, clicking into a photo and seeing what other hashtags are under that photo can be helpful as well.
Very cool. So this is a question I know that a lot of people ask, and it's probably a little controversial, but Mike asked, do you prefer hashtags in the post caption or the first comment? Because I know some people say to do one or the other.
Yeah. So I always told people to put them in the first comment, and I did that up until about a month ago. And then I started noticing that when I would post them in my first comment and then I would go over to the feed of the hashtag, I wasn't appearing, and it would take a little while for me to appear. So now I put them as part of my caption, and that instantly puts you in the feed for that hashtag. So I separate my caption and my hashtags with like a, you know, period, return, or, you know, you can use emoji right. or whatever to kind of separate yeah. it out. But I am putting them in my caption. But then interestingly, I have a few, you know, friends on Instagram that are people that I've worked really closely with on Instagram over the last, you know, 2 years or whatever. And someone just contacted me and said, hey, when I put 10, I'm not saying this for sure, but when I put 10, you know, or half my hashtags in my caption and half in my comment, my engagement goes crazy. So that's something that we're just starting to test with Ooh. Some of the clients. I mean, it's just like a weird thing that she's yeah. stumbled on, but she's like literally every time. And so I guess kind of all this to say, you have to test what works for you and, you know, see what you think. But I now am recommending caption for right now.
How do you, Ken has a good thing. He says, yeah, but you could create a hashtag list and text expander, which is a great idea, Ken. Do you have any way that you manage your hashtags? I just use Evernote and I have a list and I copy and paste. Is there a best practice for managing your hashtags?
Yeah, I do the same thing. I mean, I use my notepad on my iPhone, but I also pre-schedule my posts in Hootsuite. And because my hashtags are going in my caption, I now have them on my computer in a Word document and I copy and paste them right into the caption when I'm posting or scheduling in Hootsuite. But before that, or if I ever have, you know, a time where I am posting something that's a little more, you know, timely that wasn't planned ahead, I do have batches of 30 hashtags on my phone and I just go out and grab them and paste them in there.
Very cool. Ian goes, he's lazy. So what's the easiest way to find the 30 hashtags for our niche? Is it's kind of, you have to do it the hard way the first time. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it really is. It's just, it is time intensive in the beginning, but, you know, it's kind of, it's like a web, you know, like you find one word and then you find 5 more. And then from those 5, you find 5 more. So it's like, if you can get like, you know, maybe 5 to 10 initial hashtags, just, mm-hmm. you know, off the cuff, then go like research and see what other hashtags are attached to those. You could come up with 50 like really quickly.
There you go, Ian. So quit being lazy and just do what Molly says.
No, sure.
Have your VA do it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Laura says, yeah, when Molly posted that way, she changed her method too. So I guess, you know, people are watching you and seeing what you're doing and trying out the different ways. So, this is one of the last questions. You know, what should we absolutely not do on Instagram?
Do not use bots of any kind. Bots are ruining Instagram. No, and that seems so obvious, but I still get people that contact me and they're like, should I sign up for this bot? Or it's like, no, like don't hire bots to comment. Don't hire bots to like and follow and unfollow people. Don't hire bots to like photos. It really just, it's one of those issues that just keeps, you know, it's going to snowball. Like the more it's done, the more it just ruins Instagram for everyone. So, you know, not that. And, I'm trying to think of another one that I see often where I'm like, don't do that. Most of it, you know, when people start out on Instagram, sometimes people don't realize that you're not supposed to post several things. I mean, whatever, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want, but you don't really want to post six photos in a row. People are gonna be like, what's going on here? So, you know, spacing out your posts is another, I think, good one that people miss when they're first learning kind of the etiquette of Instagram.
Gotcha. So what do you do if you get followed or commented by a bot? This is from Ian. Do you unblock or unfollow them? I mean, block or unfollow them? What do you do?
Yeah, it depends on what kind of mood I'm in. But, you know, there's, you know, one of my colleagues on Instagram, you know, said to me at one time, like, that's still an engagement, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I actually have started being a little, I try not to be snotty, but I've gotten a little sassy. And if it's a clearly a bot comment, I will respond with an angry face emoji. They're not even looking at it anyway, because they're not on it. Right. They don't care. They're botting everything. So that, and if it becomes really clear, like sometimes you start to get kind of stalked by certain accounts, like it's like every day. And yeah, eventually I will report them.
Because usually it has nothing to do. The comment is blatantly like, hey, I love your stuff. Let's mastermind. And like,
right.
No. Yeah. Because we get a lot of these on Social Media Examiner's account because that's the space. So, and we didn't talk about this in the new updates, but the ability to go and like somebody's comment. Now, do you go back and like everybody's comment that's on who engages with you? I mean, I think it's a great thing. You know, a little heart. Because that's kind of a newish feature.
Yeah.
And do you like the bots or do you leave them alone or do you use that for kind of signaling engagement? Because I've heard the same thing, you know, go and like everything because that sends an engagement.
Yeah, no, I do go back and I like every comment. You know, the whole like feature is kind of a nice one because when you start to get a lot of comments, I feel like comments have kind of stagnated to maybe started decreasing a little bit on Instagram, just engagement's kind of changing there. But, you know, there have been times where, you know, I've gotten like 75 comments and that's really, if that's happening every day, that's really tough to respond to. So the little like button still tells someone that you saw their comment and acknowledge it. So I love that, but I still do try to go and I like, and I comment. So it's double duty. Cause yeah, I just, you know, it does register as an engagement. So I do both.
Do you have tools that you use to manage? Because like for a Social Media Examiner, I use Akana Square because it lets me manage comments really, really easy. Mm-hmm. And I can go in there and comment on the desktop. And I really, really like it. Do you have any tools that you use for like managing Instagram?
No, I mean, I have used Akana Square as well. But I just really try to get into, well, I mean, I am on Instagram every day and every account I manage, I go in and I check in the morning. And then if I don't make it in, I try to check again, you know, before I go to bed to catch comments.
Do you do it all on your phone?
Yeah, I do. I do it all on my phone.
I just want, I mean, that, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people do it that way. I use, Social Media Examiner uses Akana Square. I use Agora Pulse for all my other clients. And I really, really like it because they do the scheduling and I can, and it just, Mike said the same thing. Agora Pulse is good too, but yeah, I know a lot of people do it with on their phone. So I can't miss a comment on Social Media Examiner. I get in trouble. So I need to go make
Totally understandable. I don't have any accounts that get like so many comments that, I mean, occasionally there'll be like a post that gets a lot of comments or something, but for the most part, I mean, it's pretty steady if I just keep up on it. So.
Gotcha. Well, this has been awesome. Everybody, thanks for Sprout Social is another good. Thanks, Ken, for that. Thanks, everybody, for showing up and commenting and asking all these great questions. Thanks for Molly for being here. But Molly, before you go, where can we find out more about you and your services?
My website is a long one. It's mollymarshallmarketing.com. Marshall with two L's. And then I'm also Molly Marshall Marketing on Instagram.
Yes, go check out our Instagram account. It is awesome. And as always, I'd love for you guys to visit manlypinteresttips.com. Click on the sidebar, join our email community, where you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Molly today. Because at manlypinteresttips.com, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.